The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Welcome to the future you. Frank Lloyd Wright once said, "Study nature, love nature, stay close to nature, and it will never fail you." At Zija, we love nature. We study nature. In India, we discovered Moringa and created Moringa Supermix, a revolutionary new combination of organic ingredients, including natural vitamins, minerals, proteins, antioxidants, and omega oils. Zija's new Moringa Supermix will help you make a change for the better. Simply click on the Zija banner on the UKHealthRadio.com homepage. Power people need power vitality.
Dr. Brian Halverson is one of the UK's leading holistic dentists. He is the author of Great Teeth for Life and lectures widely to the public and to health practitioners. Brian is passionate about providing preventative information to guide us through all the stages of our lifetime. To find out more about Brian, go to www.brianhalverson.com. And now here is Dr. Brian Halverson.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
Hi, Brian here, the integrated dentist for UK Health Radio. I believe that we have a very serious problem that is just going to get worse. And that is the health of our new generations who will be populating the planet, hopefully for many, many years to come. However, when we look at the levels of what I would call avoidable disease, we are entering a situation where the health services throughout the civilized world, if we call it civilized, just cannot cope. But not only cannot they cope, they're also just looking at treatment-led therapies and procedures, as opposed to what I believe the only way we can really get to the core of the problem, and that is prevention. Now, people say, yes, but what do you mean by prevention? We know what will help our population when it comes to well-being, and that is improving the environment, improving our nutrition, improving our psychology and emotional states, and also looking at how much we can do which will benefit us from a physical point of view, such as exercise. But I think that we have to start somewhere. And I believe that the place we start is literally at not even birth. We look at not even conception, but preconception. Now, the reason I say that is the fact that when I was writing my first book back in the mid-80s, I came across a little bit of very well validated research where they took genetically exact mice, and the mice became pregnant, and they felt the group, I split the group into two sections. One group actually ate high tooth decay sugars, sticky foods, which in fact led to tooth decay, where the other group were fed on grains and more natural diet that these mice would have been eating. Now, they didn't do anything then until the offspring were born, and they were both groups were fed, this is the offspring, were fed on sugary foods. And what was fascinating was that the group whose parents, the mother was actually fed sugars, developed much, much more tooth decay than the group who, in fact, the mothers were fed on natural grains and foods. Now, what is fascinating was the fact that these were genetically the same, that the offspring were put into the exactly the same environment, given exactly the same food. But the group whose parents had a cariogenic tooth decay producing food developed more tooth decay. Now, since then, we know that if the developing human being in the womb, that if the parents are having poor lifestyle, especially things which we know affect things like smoking and drinking, but also poor nutrition, poor emotional state, this will, it's not by means of genes, it's a case of it that these vibrations, these chemicals are passed through to the developing fetus. And it's now shown that this will lead not only to immediate disease, but also to diseases through, or the likelihood of getting more propensity of diseases such as diabetes, cancer, autism, right the way through that fetuses, then baby, then child, right the way through adulthood, they're going to be more likely to develop disease simply because of the mother not really looking after herself and therefore the baby. Now, this is not about putting blame. And what I'm going to talk about, which is something that's been very, very close to my heart, and that is a concept of mine called SONG. SONG, S-O-N-G, stands for Save Our Next Generation. Now, if we get back to where I left off about, you know, the parents not looking after their developing fetus in terms of the mother, this is not laying blame. What it is saying that are we providing enough relevant education that can actually change the lifestyle habits of parents, and even before being a parent, being aware that part of being a parent also means that you have to look at it from the point of view of responsibility to the next generation. Now, my personal belief is that you cannot convince anybody to actually change their nutrition, their lifestyle habits through any form of coercion. It has to be done by what I believe providing relevant information, call it if you like education. But if I believe that we could actually set up a study which we actually compared large groups of people who possibly were to be happy to be educated and then have their whole progress of conception, pregnancy, and their offspring of their children monitored, say, for 20 years, as opposed to a comparable group that were just left to their own devices, i.e., exactly as they would normally go out, and then see if there's any statistical difference in the health and well-being of those offspring. Now, it's almost too simple, but to put something like this into a scientific study, it then builds layers of what I would call complexity from the point of view of looking at the methods of delivery. And I think the first thing we need to start on is who would we use as the study group? Now, I can only go from my own experience as a dentist and the knowledge I know, but if we take a disease which is very common, tooth decay, we find that this is often not just throughout evenly through the population, say in the UK, but often in areas where there is deprivation, call it lower socioeconomics, which means that often these people in this environment tend to deliver or more disease than, say, for example, in a predominantly middle class area. And this is just a fact. So we're not saying what's right and wrong. We're just saying that we would like to, if we're going to have a study, go to areas where we know there's a higher incidence of, say, for example, infertility, or babies that are born deformed or have learning difficulties. And in these areas, which could be anywhere, but more likely to be possibly in deprived areas in a city, where although, you know, we say that everything should be equal, often it's not, you know, meaning that even down to basic education may not be evenly distributed through the whole country. Now, we're not talking just about the UK. For example, if we're looking at levels of tooth decay in, say, the USA, Australia, in the certain socioeconomic groups, is exactly the same as the socioeconomic groups in this country. So it's global. So what we're looking at is using a target group to say, could we, by providing relevant education in all the areas that I would suggest being physical education, physical exercise, nutrition, very, very important, psychological, so that again, the vibes of the parents could also, will also contribute to the health of the next offspring, and also the environment that they're living in. How can this be tidied up so they're not having so much pollution? Which could be anything from traffic fumes to, you know, products inside their homes which are poisoning them. You know, we know that there's the whole host, and we're looking at possibly just trying to reduce the levels and then see if there are any significant differences in the health and well-being of the offspring. Now, why I first thought of this idea was back, again, many, many years ago when I was reading what I would call one of the pioneers of nutrition, funny enough, a dentist as well, called Weston Price. And he compared various parts of the world before we were polluted with processed foods. But when he went to these areas, he studied the sort of traditional tribal habits, because often these were isolated races. And what he noticed was that the old wisdom was that if you had children who were, call them adolescents or young adults, who were thinking of then having a family, that these would be earmarked for the best nutrition that the tribe could offer them. Because they knew that by providing them with the best nutrition and the best comforts that they could provide within the tribal environment, that it benefited the next generation. So now we know far more from the point of view of medical science that this is relevant, but we're not really doing that much to actually change the outcome. Because we only need to look at, you know, one in four children having learning difficulties, one in five children eczema, one in nine asthma, one in 43 autism. Now, I know that autism now runs into a spectrum, but if we go back 30 years ago, no matter how you look at the spectrum of autism, we were looking one in 20,000, and now we're looking less than one in 40. And it's not just the fact that are we having screwed up genes or anything else, it's all the things that deep down we all know about. And that is, and I'll repeat it time and time again, good nutrition or malnutrition in the cases of causing it, and all the environmental factors that we will need to actually hopefully educate people to do this, or to at least, when I say do this, to actually try to think to themselves that there is a responsibility for the next generation, that we ought to basically have a duty of care by becoming a parent. Now, this might sound a bit strong, but we're looking at health services throughout the world that just cannot cope with the levels of disease. And this isn't just acute disease, and what saps the energy of whole families is when you have, say, epilepsy, autism, and later on, and these, though that's becoming younger, you know, Alzheimer's, all sort of things that require huge care and attention, but also create so much pain and stress for the whole family. Now, we know that this can be considerably reduced, so why are we not bringing this into practice? My main reason is that it's a bit like when we decided, or governments decided, that smoking was bad for you. You need to have studies that can be bulletproof, showing that by following, say, for example, a good nutritious diet, that you then reduce disease in the next generation. It's only then, when you can produce the science, will you will find health authorities, education authorities, governments throughout the world will then stand up and take notice. So what I'm proposing is very ambitious, because I'm looking at getting target groups together, or and this could be in tens of thousands of people in selected areas, but also looking at changing things in these areas as well, education systems. So we're looking at starting at, you know, young adults who may still be at school or college, and having it as part of the education syllabus. I mean, why do we only have syllabuses that related to things like English, maths, geography, all important, but what is more important than that, our overall health and the health of our next generation? Why is it not part, a major part, of our education system? So if you've got that sort of age group, and then we're looking at providing information that could actually mean that these people are thinking, well, you know, even sometimes just leaving school, they may get engaged, they may then end up thinking we're going to have children and what have you. So you can't almost start too young. But of course the other target groups would be those people who possibly are thinking of having children, newly married, and really even things like the parents who can then actually pass down this type of information. So really it should be part of the social culture And if you look at it from the point of view of taking a little bit of an aside, the situation with, for example, wild animals, that there's the law of selection, that in effect, if we take, say, some birds, and when they fledge, it's going to be the good, caring parents who end up having a higher proportion of their offspring that actually then manage to fledge and turn into the new adults. Now, for any animal, birds, animals of all description, there's a high mortality rate because there's all sorts of natural predators, diseases, etc., that can vary. And it's very much the nature has the onus on the strongest and the fittest survive. But that means that the next generation are that little bit fitter, possibly a little bit more canny over bringing up their brood. We as human beings, besides having our superior consciousness, also do not have these, what should we say, natural predators that we instantly recognize. So that we haven't got that sort of, you know, thoughts that we should be looking at our one of our primary purpose for survival is to bring in a healthier next generation. I think it seems to make sense because, you know, a healthier new generation means not spending anywhere near as much money on things such as medical services. But also the fact is that we are healthier in body, we'll also be healthier in mind. So we should end up hopefully having a generation that not only may be, inverted commas, more intelligent, but there may be this element of being more philosophical, more caring. And we know from, for example, studies in prisons, when you give violent prisoners nutrition, especially in terms of, say, trace elements and supplements, that you see behavioural changes. Now, we can't, and I repeat this, we cannot force people to change. And this is where I'm hoping that my program, as ambitious as it is also extremely flexible. Now, by that, I initially thought to myself, well, why don't we put together a program where it's using schools and colleges, and we bring, say, newlyweds or people looking at having children together and giving them sort of lectures in groups or one-to-one. I don't think we could do this from the point of really effective manpower. And I also believe that often a lot of things like education, it's often the singer, not the song. But with the use of our communication systems, things such as our phones, our iPads, our laptops, that if programs were well written, preventative programs, and I mean when I say well written, I mean using some of the best persuasive brains in the world. And if you imagine some of the advertising campaigns where people are persuaded to buy the most ridiculous things because of the campaign is so well thought out, think if you use these people to persuade people to, say, for example, have more exercise or look out for their environment or having good nutrition. You see, now this is what I'm saying, that we would use the best of the best to create educational programs that were themselves very persuasive. Now, we would need the cooperation, and it would be absolutely, you know, irrelevant to start without actually having the cooperation of, say, the Department of Health, because you would need areas where these people could be monitored. And this would often be through GP practices, hospitals, clinics. But also you need to cooperate and integrate it with the Department of Education, so that in effect a lot of this may take place and be picked up and brought to the fore for people through our schools and our colleges. So although this is not the exclusive of the younger generation, it is, if we're looking at trying to save our next generation, we've got to look at those who are likely to be more influential in creating that new generation, i.e. prospective parents. So we would need the cooperation of virtually all the systems involved in providing information education, and also by monitoring. So you can see already this is getting into a fairly, ambitious, project. But if this project could be brought together with the use of our best scientists, educators, statisticians, and you could show huge statistical differences in the programs, and not only just the programs of those people who want to partake in it against those who didn't, but also we could run several parallel programs and find out that some may be more effective than others. So this is what I mean about flexibility. You know, it's not, my idea is very generalized. And this is why I'm actually putting this show together, because what I'm really doing is appealing for our listeners to literally see if we could get together and create, together with possibly organizations or people listening may actually say, yes, I like this idea. I know of a college or a hospital or a group of people who could well, or individuals who may well want to come in one way or another, sponsor it. Now, we're not looking at just cash, because really a lot of this cash would be found through what I'll call the backers. This could be anything from the Department of Health, Department of Education, but we also be looking at people like, say, Microsoft or Apple, who could, again, develop the software and hardware systems which can actually be then used and rolled out to the various groups that I've been talking about. So you can now see how, I'm trying to look at it from an ambitious point of view. Why do we need such a large study? Because if what I think conducted properly and we had the results, this could be then used throughout the world. But it would need to be statistically sound, so those people who would object, there'll always be those who are saying, ah, no, it wasn't the fact that they changed their diet, it was, you know, just psychosomatic. You'll always get doubters. But if you can get a scientific, validated, evidence-based project going with large enough numbers, just think how many lives you could not only save, but also all the distress and pain and suffering that is taking place now, which I believe is actually in the main avoidable. So in fact, there was a lady when I wrote my first book who ran an organization called Foresight, which was looking at preconceptual care. And one thing that this particular lady said to me was that often they have people who have, say, a stillborn baby, tragedy, or they have a baby that's malformed, and they go to the doctor or they go to the consultant and say, look, why has this happened? And often the consultant will say, well, it's just one of those things. It's just an act of God. And her comment was, God would not be pleased. Very poignant, but just think about it. You know, in my particular small world, we can stop gum disease and tooth decay. There isn't a mystery. When people come to me and say, oh, I'm prone, you know, yes, it might have been conditioning, and there might be people who immune systems and all sorts of factors, which means that they may be more likely to develop tooth decay or gum disease. But there's always a cause, which means there's also, hopefully, an answer to reduce the causative factors, which then means that people, and the body always wants to return to health. So what we're saying here is, again, this is not about nanny state. It's not about trying to create a system where everyone has to be conforming, because what we're saying is that it's about providing information so that people can make choices. And this has occurred already, you know, when we're looking at the reduction in things like smoking. You know, so all we're saying is that although smoking will do lots of, by lack of smoking, I should say, do lots of good in terms of health and well-being, just think if we can go right the way from preconception through to conception, right the way through to not only the sort of, what should we say, the term inside the mother, but also looking at then nutrition through to the baby, to the child, to the young adult. So a project like this, I would envisage being ongoing for possibly 20 or 30 years. Now, one of the things you might say is, well, in that case, we're not really going to see much from it for many years to come. Well, speaking to some of my medical specialists, they're saying absolutely not. Because if you have a group of, say, even 50 mums and 50 who are on the program, 50 who's not, we can see what happens immediately when we look at birth outcomes. And then we could monitor, which is done all the time with all our offspring, you know, keeping an eye on their health and everything else. So we will be getting feedback and results literally within a year of starting the survey. But of course, that can then be developed, worked upon. So it's always going to be a project which is work in progress. So what am I asking for? Well, I'd like to feel that there's people who listen to me who may say, look, you know, okay, Brian, I want to know a little bit more about it because I may be able to interest in helping you in one way or another. If you are, then I would be absolutely delighted to hear from you. And the best way to contact me would be through my direct email address, which is brydentist@aol.com. So I'll repeat that again. It's brydentist, all one word, B-R-I, dentist, at aol.com. Now, why do I need help at this stage? Because to put a proposal like this to such august bodies such as the Department of Health, Department of Education, we'd need to put together a pretty solid evidence-based report showing very much as if like a project like this would be worth investing in. So we would need to look at input from a lot of our medical colleagues and a lot of the research papers, looking at how the best delivery systems would be. And so we could just go on and on. But what we're looking at here is not about any individual glory. And personally, if I was no more than just literally instrumental in getting the thing started, I'd be absolutely delighted. So it's not about anything more than thinking that here's an idea, let's investigate it. And if it looks like we could make a significant difference to the next generation, and if you think about it, sometimes when somebody does something pioneering and it saves one life, we think to ourselves, it was worthwhile. But here, we could be saving thousands, millions. So it's got much higher stakes. And I would just love, really would, to see if we could possibly get something started. I have actually contacted various universities and health authorities, and there is general excitement, but in each case they've said, look, we need a lot more build up of this project to understand it fully and to then give a critique on where it can go. And myself, I've not got the capabilities to do such a thing. But again, if we could all get together and integrate our skills and resources, then we can achieve, as many of my gurus say, the impossible. And I think this is where it would be a legacy for everybody who joined this, if it actually came about and we could see, by means of good, profound education, we can see an improvement in the health and well-being of our next generation. What a thing to actually tell your children, your grandchildren, about you were part of it. So again, love to hear from you, and I really would appreciate if we could actually look at working together, even if it's not yourself, but you know of somebody who could. And as I say, I think we need to have a combination of every form of medical and practitioner discipline, as well as the educational side and the technical side. So it's a real integration of skills, but the main thing is the altruistic final product, which is health and well-being of our next generation. I sincerely thank you for listening, and I would love you to contact me, brydentist@aol.com. My wishes to you all as listeners is abundance, health, and happiness. Thank you.
I can see clearly.